eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
On this episode of the Heat Check, it's a Sunday night. That's when we're recording it. The playoffs are here. The first weekend of the NBA playoffs are in the books. Let's just say, overall, not counting what we just saw, yawn. Other than a couple of games on Saturday and the game with OKC and the Pelicans, it was blowout city. Favorite teams, aka the home teams, dominated, and there were a few surprises. Looking at you, Milwaukee Bucks. Let's get right into it, Anthony. Drop that motherfucking beat that should be Rihanna. Okay. All eight first round series in the books. I have four or five top line stories that we'll dig into before talking about the other four series. Let's open up this episode with the Sixers versus the Knicks series. That opened up on 3:30 Saturday. Probably the biggest news of the playoffs so far, because Joel Embiid started the game. Dominated said game. Looked like the Sixers were going to roll. Knicks fans online were shaking in their fucking boots. Oh yeah, what the fuck is going on? Oh my god, Madison Square Garden, Celebrity Row, everyone is shook. And then, the dumbest thing I think I've seen happened. Joel Embiid decided to dunk for the first time since his knee injury. And not just dunk, like nobody's around, in a lob. No, he dunked like that drunk uncle does in his fucking slides at the barbecue, trying to dunk on his little nephews, only to stumble and fall into the smoker and ruin the whole fucking shindig, because you gotta take drunk unk, to the hospital, to the ER. That's what he did. I'm not joking. He lobbed the ball off the backboard to himself and dunked into a crowded area, knowing that knee was not stable. Came down on his knee badly, tough, like a hard landing. Goes to the ground immediately, his eyes rolling into the back of his head, glazing over. It might have been the dumbest thing I've seen anyone with a nagging injury do. Like, what the fuck? Dude, this isn't November 1st. This is postseason hoops. People were like, on Twitter, oh, the Sixers shouldn't have let Joel Embiid play. They should have protected him from himself. This is what you're supposed to do with your players, blah, 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 blah. What are we talking about here? He was out 8 weeks. He was out the extended amount of period of time he was supposed to be after the surgery to get right. And if he wasn't right, then certainly it was not the Sixers' call for him to try that fucking move. If you feel froggy enough to attempt that dunk, you got to be 100%, 110%, brother. Because if you're not, I mean, Joel Embiid could legitimately, every play of every game, he's on the brink of never returning to a basketball game ever again. Like, I am constantly afraid we will never see him play another minute. This is the type of dunk you see in a high school McDonald's All-American game. And that was what Joel Embiid decided to do. I just can't believe it. I'm still thinking about it, as you can tell. No idea, by the way, he left the game, of course, what kind of drugs they gave him, because they were shooting him up with something, because he didn't even look like he was cognizant of his surroundings. He could have been at Rucker Park. He could have been, like, in his middle school game. Like, he had no idea what time and space he was at. All I know is he was just hitting free throw after free throw, still putting his body on the line, and was faded the rest of the game. But even zombie Joel Embiid was unguardable. 36 minutes, 33 seconds on the floor, Sixers outscored New York by 14. When he was off the floor, they were minus 21. What is the status going forward? I don't know. I have no idea. But the truth is, let's be honest, feels like the Sixers are dead. I don't want to say that, but did you see him? He doesn't look anywhere close to right. That is how much air was taken out of this team when he hit the ground and went back to the locker room. And another thing, by the way, where the fuck is Buddy Hield at? Excuse me? Where did you go? You left Indiana and you came to this team, your very first playoff appearance in your life, and you acted like you've never played basketball before. He just acted like it was me out there, like, don't give me the ball. I don't want to shoot it at all. He was 0 for 2. Two shot attempts? Dog. Yo, Buddy Hield shoots like 17 times a game. Recklessly. Contested. Open. Off the dribble. Catch and shoot. Doesn't matter. Buddy Hield, that's all he does is chuck. No, sir. Nick Nurse was going out of his mind like, that's the whole reason we brought you here. Here's what he said about Buddy after the game. Listen. Buddy didn't get much of a chance last night. He didn't have a couple of plays there. He didn't play good. It's a game where you can't extend minutes when a guy has 3 or 4 mistakes. By the way, Nick, if you're not going to give Buddy Hield rope when he makes mistakes, then Buddy Hield's not going to be out there. Because Buddy Hield, one thing we know, outside of the fact that he loves to chuck, Buddy Hield makes a lot of fucking dumb mistakes. If you keep passing up threes, Buddy Hield, and keep making dumb decisions, you might just not see yourself on the court no more. As for the Knicks, woo, they were getting their asses saved by the others. Josh Hart was getting sagged off of and hit 5 crucial threes. Deuce McBride, oh my God. Both of them combined to carry Jalen Brunson, who is 8 for 26 with 5 turnovers. Even Josh Hart was like, damn, when they asked him. They said, hey, did you know Jalen Brunson, 8 for 26? He goes, damn, my bad. McBride was 5 for 7 from 3, put up 21, and Josh Hart had 22. Here's the thing. Even though it feels like the Sixers are cooked, if you look at the box score, all 5 Knicks had a negative plus minus rating. And the bench, Bogdanovich plus 27, Mitchell Robinson plus 18, McBride plus 37. You just cannot count on that every game, or even more than maybe once or twice during a series. So if Joel Embiid is banged up, it's not going to matter, but there's a whole lot on the line on Monday night.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. The other big story of the weekend. Set your clocks. It's Dame time. Oh, yeah. Miami Heat fans hadn't been fucking sick. They watched whatever skeleton crew. They just played the Boston Celtics. Oh my God. When you're relying on Jaime Jaquez and Nikola Jovic and Tyler Hero, a.k.a. the Dame package, I tell you what, it's not good. And then on top of that, watch Dame do what he did tonight? Last night? Oh my God. Everyone, by the way, had given up on Milwaukee, including the entire set of Inside the NBA, including all of Twitter, including me. No Giannis, who knows when he's back. Middleton has had a swollen knee since 2021. Dame has been looking tired, beaten down, sad, tired, old. But you know what? Nothing on planet Earth, as I know full well as a Blazer fan, invigorates Dame Lillard like meaningful postseason basketball. Now, I only know of postseason basketball, you know, the type of occurrence where you know you're not really doing shit, but you're in the postseason. This is like, whoa, Milwaukee could actually contend for a title. And he went off. He could have had 60, but it didn't even matter. How good was he? Halfway through the second quarter, Damian Lillard had 29 points. And the Indiana Pacers at that point had 29 points. He was literally outpacing the entire Pacers team. Ended up with 35, but he didn't need to do much more, really. Like, it, at that point, was over but the shouting. Dame defensively was also pretty good, had some deflections. Who would have thought? Chris Middleton, he was solid, 23 points, 9 for 14 shooting. The team collectively was strapping everyone, put them in body bags, except for Siakam, who had 36. Halliburton, 9, 6, and 7. You can't do it. Can't have that from your point guard. And also, by the way, De'Aaron Fox would never. So let's stop with the bullshit of the Halliburton versus Fox comparisons. So now Milwaukee flips the narrative. pressure's on Indiana, game two, Pfizer for them. And now people like me are scratching their heads thinking, could potentially this Milwaukee team, I don't know, compete, do some shit, even without Giannis? If they take care of business, Giannis gets to rest for 2 weeks. Things get very interesting in Milwaukee. But as John Hollinger likes to say, a series does not begin until Doc Rivers goes up 3-1. All right, moving on. The third top line story is, oh my God, Ant Edwards has fucking arrived. In another series that everyone had written off the home team, the Minnesota Timberwolves decided, oh no, we're not about to let you guys come and clown us again. No, no, Phoenix Suns. No, no. The same team that mollywopped them last game of the season, just like the last game, people were like, damn, I was not familiar with your game. The Wolves showed why they were the best defense in the NBA all season. As Kendrick Perkins says, I know, I cannot believe it either. The Wolves exposed every flaw that the Suns had in just the first half alone. The Wolves pestered Devin Booker, pestered Bradley Beal all game, picking them up three-quarter court, making them work to get the ball into their offensive sets, usually operating on 16, 15, 14, tick, tick, tick. They rushed shots. Booker was awful, 5 for 16. Grayson Allen, the best three-point shooter in the league, just got paid, 0 for 3. Yuck. Let me tell you about an X-Factor player who has been scratching and clawing like his name was Jonte Porter to try to get some fucking minutes. Nickeil Alexander-Walker was electric factory. 18 points, 4 for 9 from 3. 4 fucking steals. But it was the Edwards show. No, no. It was really just him. He took over in the second half and absolutely destroyed the Suns, talking shit to Kevin Durant, his favorite player, saying, listen here, I told you, you can't guard me. What the fuck did I tell your old ass? Yeah, yeah, you can't guard me. It was a moment. It was a moment. And Edwards said it was the best moment of his entire life. That's how much he loves Kevin Durant, and that's how much he loves cooking Kevin Durant. We will see how the Suns respond, because Devin Booker is getting absolutely killed in the Twitter streets right now. And then fourthly, another shock. Clippers? Yeah. Yes. Yes, the LA Clippers. We had given up on them. We had left them for dead. No Kawhi and a playoff James Harden. You dead in the streets versus Luka and Kyrie. Laid by just a 2x4 to the dome piece of the Dallas Mavericks and just destroyed them in game one. They did it as 3-point underdogs at home. And the reason is James Harden. The reason is James Harden. Wow. Can't believe I'm even saying it. He was unstoppable in the first half. He had 28. He had 6 threes. His number was 2.5. He blew right back that. After the game, he was like, yeah, you guys forgot I was an elite scorer, huh? Yeah. Yeah, we did, James. Yeah, we did. The Clippers held the Mavericks to just 8 points total in the second quarter. And after that, it was just night-night sleep mask. Kyrie had 31. Luka ended up with 33. But it did not matter because the Mavs were fighting uphill all the rest of the way. And not even Luka could save them. You want to know how much this changed people's minds, Vegas' minds? The Clippers were 3-point underdogs at the start of game one. The opening line for game two is now Clippers -6. That is a 9-point swing. World-class beatdown. The Clips put on the Mavericks, and it's going to be a tight series, but the bottom line is anybody counting out the Clippers, even without Kawhi, is doing so at their own peril. Steve Ballmer, he might just have a heart attack from joy. All right. The other series, except for one, because that game ended late, didn't have a ton of drama. Out east, the Magic were visiting the Cavs. Cleveland got probably the best half of basketball they could ever get from Evan Mobley. Cleveland rode a 12-point half-point time lead into a never-in-doubt 14-point win. But one thing that this game underscored, Orlando has one of the best players in the world, in Paolo. Put up 24. They have a roster of 10 guards surrounding them. None of them can fucking shoot. What is going on with this team? This is one of the worst three-point shooting teams I've ever seen. The Magic shot 8 for 37 from 3. 8 for 37. I'm shocked they even got 8, honestly. They shot the guards. The guards shot 1 for 17 from 3. Yo, your best three-point shooter on this team is Jonathan Isaac, who is 7 feet tall. He's 50% from deep again in this game. You need Magic to address this issue whenever you get sent home. That needs to be, like, priority number one. The Cavs, congratulations to you. You showed up. It's very easy to forget that this team went 19-1 at one point during the season, missing multiple players. They are very dangerous, and if they play like this going forward, the team's going to be very tough to beat.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The other Eastern series was predictably an absolute dog walk. The Celtics took a Heat team without Jimmy Butler and took them to the woodshed. The box score shows they won by 20, but listen, that took a 30-7 run in order for them to get it to that point. The Celtics led 91-59 after three. The Celtics led 91-59 after three. Boston looks very good. Tatum was getting triple doubles. And 6 players with double-digit points. That's what we expect from the Boston Celtics. They were not tested, which is both good and bad. The series is over. We know this. The Celtics have way too many guys to score. The Heat have absolutely no one. Now that Jimmy Butler is out, they have no talent in 3 of the 5 starting positions. They really wish they had Dame Lillard. Tyler Hero got played off the court as he could not handle Jrue Holiday or Derek White or even Peyton fucking Pritchard. Go Ducks! And got strapped by them to the tune of 4 for 13 and 11 points. Gross. All of this just goes to show you, Jimmy Butler's been carrying this team. Like, he makes these bums look good. Honestly, like, he makes Duncan Robinson look like a star. He got Duncan Robinson paid. He got Tyler Hero paid. Jaime Jaquez is, like, the only guy they have. I don't even know if Bam's any good, honestly. I did say that the Heat would be a lottery team, and they're not. So congratulations, Heat team. You have the 15th overall pick, and you're about to get fucking swept. All right, move on. Out west, we got 2 series left to talk about, the first being New Orleans versus OKC. The Pelicans playing without Zion, and everybody gave them no chance. They were the biggest underdogs outside of the Heat, biggest underdogs in the West, and that includes the Nuggets versus the Lakers. Enter Trey Murphy. His points per game balloons without Zion in the lineup. He had a great game both defensively and offensively to keep the Pelicans very, very close pretty much the entire game. It was back and forth. Over 40 lead changes. Chet played pretty damn well. Offensively, had multiple threes. He's getting bodied in the post by Jonas Valanciunas, but guess what? It doesn't really matter when you have like 5 blocks. That's what he's there for. He's the Slim Reaper, number 2. This was really the only good close game on Sunday. Every time the Thunder made a run, they had multiple 10-point leads in the second half. The Pelicans answered. CJ McCollum was clutch, but it was Valanciunas who was a very dominant force. His rebound prop was 7.5. He had 20 rebounds, 9 offensive boards. The game was absolutely bonkers. Came down to the final possession for the Pelicans. And the thing that I loved is that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has shown people who have been asking whether he can do this in the regular season and not the playoffs that, oh boy, he can do this in the postseason as well. Down one. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander bait CJ McCollum into getting into his body, off balance, fade away to the side, floater, splash, and one. Hell yeah. That's what we're talking about. That's what I'm saying. CJ McCollum had a three in order to take this thing all the way down to the clock. I think there's 14 seconds left. Get a game winner. No. Heavily contested. Hits the rim. OKC 1, New Orleans 0. And if this is any indication, this is going to be like the best series in all of the first round. Oh my God. Like I said, people have been saying they want to see SGA in a high pressure situation. It doesn't get any more high pressure than that. It came down to SGA making this incredibly tough shot, and that being the winning bucket. Then nobody scored after that. All in all, OKC has to love winning a game like this. They played sloppy. They let a lot of shit go, and they're going to have to clean some things up because there's really no reason that you should be playing a 94-92 game, especially when you're the best three-point shooting team in the league. A few more games like this, they will all be playoff vets tested. And we end, fittingly, with the Nuggets. As I've said before, the Nuggets are like Thanos. They are inevitable. The Lakers may have played the best first half that they have against the Nuggets in 2 years, and guess what? It did not matter. They took a three-point lead into halftime at the break, and not a single person in purple and gold felt good about it. They were up by double digits at one point, 13 points. Nobody felt good about it. Why? Because these numbers don't matter. Like, the lead doesn't matter. If you're up by double digits when Jokic is not on the floor, these are not real minutes. This is not reality. This is a dream for you. This is like a fantasy for you. This is a world where you can compete. The only way you can compete is when Jokic is not there. The inevitable Nuggets run is going to happen. And there is nothing, not one thing, the Lakers can do about it. And there was not one thing that they could do about it. To be fair, no one else can stop them either. So, congratulations, Nuggets. You are already NBA champions. But especially the Lakers. The Lakers team is not built to compete with Denver. They don't have enough three-point shooting. They don't have enough height to deal with Aaron Gordon and MPJ and Jamal Murray. Denver's bench is more effective than the Lakers bench, even though they have like two guys, Christian Brown and Peyton Watson. Like, they really have two. D'Lo is fucking trash in the series. He's going to get played off the court. I think he had like 4 points, 11 points. He was horrible. He was over 8 from 3. LeBron was pretty good, 27-6-8. AD was really good, 32-14. It just did not matter. When the Nuggets decided, okay, it's the third quarter and we're going to do our thing, the Lakers played catch-up the rest of the way, and at no point did it ever feel like they were ever going to win. Ever. You've got Lakers fans in the streets just, like, completely despondent, saying, I know that I should feel like this was going to happen, but I feel worse than I thought I was going to. Why? Because there's no answers. There's no answers. You're in this series for no reason. Like, this is just, it's done. The series is over. Denver's the favorite to win this again for a reason, and that reason is Nikola Jokic. What did he do? He had 32, 12, and 7. Two steals. Played 39 minutes. Zero turnovers. He's just fucking insane. I don't even know what to make of him. How incredible were the Nuggets? They went to the line 6 times total in the game. The Lakers had 19 free throw attempts for a comparison. And the Nuggets became one of just 3 teams in NBA history to win a playoff game, shooting 6 or less free throws. After the game, Michael Malone was asked if the Nuggets needed to get to the line more. He said, why should we? We keep winning. We don't need free throws to win. Oh my God. I love him so much. He was also asked pregame, like, hey, how different is this Lakers team than when you played them in the playoffs last year? He was like, I played them in the regular season this year. They don't seem that different to me. Honestly, they seem the same, which is a loser. Hey, Lakers fans, at least you still have Darvin Ham. Friend of show Jovan Buha tweeted this gem out. Darvin Ham says the Lakers have a couple more adjustments that they're going to throw at Nikola Jokic. He added the Lakers didn't want to use all of their adjustments in game one. Oh my God. Remember last year when they thought Rui Hachimura and Nikola Jokic was going to do something? Remember it was like, oh, they figured it out. They lost, but like, the Nuggets should really feel like they lost because Rui has figured it out. As I said before, I think the Lakers are a worse team than they were last year. So let's not expect anything to be different. Nuggets in 4. Get the LeBroom out. That's all the time that we have for this episode of the Heat Check. Come back tomorrow for an all-new episode as the first round of the playoffs progresses. Check out the feed for past episodes and mini episodes which drop unexpectedly, like the Miami Heat from the playoff picture and into the let's get into the draft room picture. Do not forget to follow the Heat Check as we head into the playoffs. That means download, subscribe, tell your friends. Even that nice lady in front of you at Home Goods, tell her, hey, nice lamp, baby girl, when you get your nursery all set up. Maybe don't play it, the Heat Check for the baby, but maybe put your headphones on when the baby's asleep and you have to watch him. I don't know. Turn on the Heat Check with Trista Crick. Your baby will love her very soothing voice, which is no one has ever told me, ever. And don't forget to follow the Heat Check and Trista Crick on TikTok, Twitter, and IG. And it's soon enough. It's soon enough. It's soon enough. It's soon enough. I promise. YouTube!
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.